Roll the airplane into a steep bank and hold it there. Keep pulling. Let the nose drop and the speed build. On most airplanes, nothing argues with you. The airplane does exactly what you tell it, right up to the moment it does something you never wanted. Now imagine a hand, a gentle one, right there on the controls with you, pushing back, not grabbing, not taking over, just quietly saying, "I think we've gone far enough. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about that hand. It has a name. It's called Electronic Stability and Protection, ESP, and it's one of the most misunderstood pieces of automation flying in general aviation right now. Let's break this down. Before we get into the wiring, a quick word from the people helping keep the lights on in the hangar. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a moment in your logbook worth marking, that's the place. AviationSoul.com.
So, what actually is ESP? Here's the cleanest way I can put it. ESP is not an autopilot. That's the first thing to get straight, because people mix them up constantly, and the difference matters. An autopilot flies the airplane for you. You engage it, you take your hands off, and it holds heading and altitude and flies the route. It's in command until you tell it otherwise. ESP is the opposite philosophy. ESP sits in the background while you hand fly. It does nothing. It stays completely out of your way, right up until the airplane approaches the edges of what's safe. Too steep a bank, too high a pitch up, too low a pitch down, too fast, too slow, getting near a stall. When you push toward one of those edges, ESP starts applying gentle pressure on the controls through the same servos the autopilot uses. Pressure that nudges the airplane back toward level, back toward safe.
And here's the part that surprises people. You can override it, easily. If you keep pulling, keep banking, keep insisting, the airplane goes where you point it. ESP is not a cage, it's a spring. A soft, progressive spring that gets firmer the closer you get to the edge, but a spring you can always stretch if you really mean to. That design choice is the whole story. So let me tell you why the engineers built it that way. Here's what most people miss about automation in small airplanes. The danger was never that the airplane would do something crazy on its own. The danger is the human. Specifically, the human who is distracted, overloaded, disoriented, or slowly losing the picture without realizing it. Think about the accidents that keep repeating. A pilot in cloud, no instrument rating, who lets the wings roll off a little bit at a time until the airplane is in a spiral, and the airspeed is screaming. A pilot in the pattern, distracted, who pulls the nose up in a base to final turn, loses too much speed, and stalls into the ground. A pilot fixated on a problem inside the cockpit while the airplane quietly drifts into an attitude nobody chose. None of those pilots decided to crash. Every one of them was slowly walking toward the edge without feeling the ground getting soft under their feet. ESP is built for exactly that moment, not the dramatic emergency, the quiet drift. The slow slide toward trouble that you don't notice because you're busy or scared or spatially disoriented and your inner ear is lying to you. The data tells an interesting story here. Loss of control in flight is, year after year, the largest single category of fatal general aviation accidents, not engine failures, not weather in the dramatic thunderstorm sense. Loss of control, the airplane ending up in an attitude or an energy state the pilot couldn't recover from. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, and the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, have both put loss of control at the top of the list for years. So the engineers asked a simple question. What if the airplane itself resisted, gently, whenever it started heading toward those attitudes? Not flying for you, just leaning against the bad outcomes. Let's get into how it actually works, because the mechanics are elegant. ESP rides on top of the digital autopilot. In a Garmin glass panel airplane, you've got an attitude and heading reference system, the part that knows exactly how the airplane is oriented in space. Bank angle, pitch angle, all of it, updated many times a second. You've got an air data computer that knows your airspeed, and you've got servos, little electric motors connected to the flight controls that the autopilot normally uses to move the yoke and rudder. ESP uses all of that hardware, but with a different rulebook. The system watches your bank angle. Roll past a threshold, somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 degrees of bank on a typical setup, and ESP begins feeding in roll pressure toward wings level. The steeper you go, the harder it pushes. At a normal 30-degree bank turn, it's silent. It knows that's just flying. It watches pitch the same way.
Pull the nose up too far and it pushes the nose back down. Let the nose drop too far and it eases the nose back up. There are pitch limits high and low and it defends both. It watches airspeed. Get too fast into the territory where you're overstressing the airframe, and it applies nose-up pressure to bleed the speed off. This is called overspeed protection, and it watches the slow end too, the stall end. As you get near the airplane's minimum flying speed, low-speed protection starts pushing the nose down to keep you flying. Because the cure for a stall has always been the same, lower the nose. Reduce the angle of attack ESP. Just does it a little early, before you'd have had to. Now, layered on top of all that is one more feature worth knowing, and it's the part that connects ESP to some of the automation you may already have heard about. It's called level mode, sometimes labeled with the letters LVL, and there's usually a button on the panel. If a pilot becomes disoriented, if things fall apart, one press of that button and the autopilot rolls the wings level and pitches to hold a safe attitude. It's the panic button. I have lost the picture, and I need the airplane to just stop making things worse, button. Here's the clever connection. ESP is designed so that if you fight it, if you hold the airplane in a steep attitude long enough against that gentle pressure, the system assumes you might be incapacitated or disoriented. And after a sustained period, it will actually engage the autopilot in level mode automatically. It escalates. It starts as a suggestion. If the suggestion goes unheeded for too long, it becomes an intervention. That's the same underlying idea behind the more famous emergency automation Garmin has built, the systems that will fly a stricken airplane to a runway. This is the quieter, more constant cousin. It's working every second you hand fly, whether you ever notice it or not. Let's talk honestly about the pros, because there are real ones. The biggest one is that it addresses the actual killer, loss of control from spatial disorientation, and from slow, unnoticed excursions. This is not a solution looking for a problem. This is technology aimed squarely at the top of the fatal accident list. The second is that it works in the background without changing how you fly. You don't engage it. You don't manage it. It's just there, like a good instructor sitting on their hands, ready to lean in only if you genuinely need it. For a low-time pilot, for a pilot who accidentally flies into cloud, for anybody having the worst day of their flying life, that soft pressure toward level could be the difference. Third, it's teaching in a subtle way. When you feel ESP start to push, that's feedback. That's the airplane telling you you're at the edge of normal now. Pay attention. A lot of pilots say it's made them more aware of their own tendencies. Now the cons, because I promised you balanced and hype without caveats, is not what we do here. The first honest concern is dependency. Automation dependency is a real and documented problem in aviation. When a system quietly protects you from your own mistakes, there's a risk you stop developing the skill to avoid those mistakes yourself. If you only ever fly airplanes with ESP and you never truly learn to feel the airplane at the edges, what happens the day you climb into an airplane that doesn't have it? The protection can become a crutch, and a crutch you didn't know you were leaning on is the most dangerous kind. The second concern is understanding. ESP has to be understood to be trusted. If a pilot doesn't know it's there, that gentle push on the controls in a steep turn can be confusing, even alarming. What is the airplane doing? Why is it fighting me? A pilot who doesn't understand the system might fight it wrongly, or might disable it, or might just be startled at exactly the wrong moment. This is why training and knowing your specific airplane's setup matters enormously. Read the Pilot's Operating Handbook supplement, know your thresholds, know how to turn it off, and know when you'd want to. Because yes, you can turn it off, and there are legitimate times you'd want to. Steep turns during flight training. Certain maneuvers, aerobatics, obviously. Though you're not doing those in a normally certified airplane with this system anyway. The point is, the pilot remains in command. The automation serves the pilot, not the other way around. That is the correct hierarchy, and Garmin got it right by making override effortless. The third caveat is scope. ESP protects against attitude and speed excursions. It does not protect against everything. It will not save you from flying into terrain in level flight. It is not a terrain warning system. It is not traffic avoidance. It will not fix bad fuel planning or a bad weather decision. It defends a specific envelope, and it defends it well, but it's one layer in a stack, not a force field. Believing otherwise is exactly the kind of overconfidence that gets people hurt. Who's building this, and where does it stand? This is largely Garmin's technology in the general aviation glass cockpit world, part of their broader suite of what they call safety and automation features. It shows up in their integrated flight decks and in some of their retrofit autopilots, the ones a lot of owners are installing in older airplanes to replace worn-out vacuum systems and aging autopilots. If you put a modern digital autopilot into a 1970s airframe, you may well be getting envelope protection along with it, which is a remarkable thing to say about a 50-year-old airplane. And the concept is spreading. The idea of envelope protection is not new at the airline level. The big Airbus and Boeing jets have had flight envelope protection for decades, built into their fly-by-wire flight control systems. What's genuinely new and genuinely important is that this philosophy has come down market into piston singles and light airplanes, into the exact segment of aviation where loss of control does the most killing. That trickle down from airliner to trainer is one of the quiet good news stories in aviation safety over the last decade. Here's the honest timeline read. This is not vaporware. It's not a promise about the future. It's certified. It's installed. It's flying in thousands of airplanes right now, today. The technology is mature. The open questions are not about whether it works. They're about the human side, how we train pilots to understand it, how we keep it from breeding complacency, how we make sure the person in the seat still knows how to fly the airplane when the airplane stops helping. That, to me, is the real frontier of cockpit automation. Not building smarter machines. We're pretty good at that now. It's building the right relationship between the pilot and the machine. Automation that helps without hiding the truth, that protects without deskilling, that leans in when you need it and disappears when you don't. ESP, at its best, is a model for how to get that relationship right. A quiet hand on the controls, a spring, not a cage, always overridable, always subordinate to the pilot, but always there leaning gently against the worst outcomes on your very worst day. My thanks to the FAA and the NTSB for the accident data that frames why this matters, and to Garmin's published documentation for the technical details on how the system actually behaves. You'll find more at radiohangar.com. Next time you're hand flying, roll into a steeper bank than usual and pay attention to what the airplane tells you. There may be more of a conversation going on in that yoke than you ever realized. I'm Vector. Fly the airplane all the way to the tie down. See you next time.